On this episode of The Check Down, we talk about football because it is officially back. We also dive into Sam Darnold and his new contract, Andrew Luck and his new shoulder. We also discuss the breaking news about Urban Meyer, the rest of the golf season, and LeBron's new school. The Blitz package heats up per usual as we make predictions about the Tiger and Phil showdown and talk about who we want to punch in the face. But first, here's your jam of the week. This is Mace with Welcome Back. Welcome back indeed, Kyle. It is the start of football season. From this weekend, tonight was the Hall of Fame game night, Bears versus Ravens. From this night until the Super Bowl, there is football every weekend.
Woo!
I'm pretty stoked. I'm pretty stoked.
I feel like there's a break between the NFC and AFC championship games and the Super Bowl. So you might have misspoke a little bit. There's a 1 week break between the conference championships and the Super Bowl. But other than that break, you are correct, my friend. And I'm excited. Errors aside,
yes, that's my fault. We should just stop the podcast now. It's bad to start off on a on an error like that.
The fact checker is back in business.
Yeah, back in business. But yeah, I'm excited. These preseason games I feel like are fun to see a lot of guys get some time, even though they go from 90 to the 54, 53 man roster pretty quick. But it is fun to see some college names out there in pro uniforms and see who kind of rises to the occasion and maybe makes a squad.
Yeah, I'm just not a huge preseason football guy. I don't ever watch it.
But so what's better to watch right now? Baseball? You gonna watch baseball?
Well, first of all, golf is off the chain.
Okay, but it's only Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
True. I am plenty busy in the afternoons and at nighttime. I'm not just sitting around looking for something to watch, mind you. But football, the games are so competitive, and in the NFL and in college football, every game means so much.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. And so to have these preseason games on, these preseason games are the opposite of means so much.
Yeah.
They mean so little. Mm-hmm. And so it's really difficult for me to grasp onto it. And honestly, not really in football mode yet. Very excited. I kind of save my excitement and my enthusiasm for week one for September 1st.
Got it.
For both the college season and the pro football season to start. I'll follow it. I'll read up on articles. I'll see who's doing well, who's not doing well. But preseason NFL football it's a rough one.
It is, but it's entertaining because you get to see guys like Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, who apparently has been struggling in camp, try and duke it out and actually show why he should be the number one overall pick or why Lamar Jackson should start over Flacco. So it's just fun. Just a lot of good storylines. But, I agree. Obviously, there's nothing like the actual season. But we're only a month away either way. It's just nice to have something to watch on the weekends now. Before we get into more NFL talk, though, other football that's going on right now is the Canadian Football League. And our very own, the podcast's very own, McLeod Bethel Thompson, had his first ever Canadian football start tonight for the Toronto Argonauts, losing by 24 points at one point, threw a touchdown with 1 second left to win the game.
So awesome.
Absolutely incredible. For our listeners who are new or who have been with us either way for a long time, he's the one that told the great Jim Harbaugh story, sloshing in the throw-up. And the stories about him being in the same quarterback locker or quarterback film room with Tom Brady and our boy Jimmy G and Bill Belichick. So, hey, if we got to get famous because of someone else, we're going to ride those coattails, and that's what we're going to do.
That's great. I mean, hats off to the journeyman that just loves the game and wants to just, play wherever he can play and make his name where he can make it. And so,
yeah,
congrats to Mac.
Absolutely. And the other thing that's fun about him is obviously he bounced around the NFL for a little bit, but he's like one of the oldest guys to start his first ever game in the Canadian League because he's 30 years old.
That's one of the oldest guys, really? Wow.
To start his first ever.
That's still so cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty awesome.
That's younger than us.
That's
younger than me.
Younger than you. Speak for yourself on that one. But
so you're 25. Relax over there. Splitting hairs by weeks.
But yeah, so he was 25 for 37, 302 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And like I said, he led a 2-minute comeback about 80 yards for the game-winning touchdown. I watched the whole thing. Pretty friggin' awesome. This is why I'm excited for football to be back, because I just love moments like that.
So great.
So we're going to have to get him back on after the season is over, but they're about a third of the way through their season, so won't be for a little while. But congrats to Mac. Yeah, shout out to him. And he also rushed for 54 yards. So he was all over the place tonight.
Dang.
Hot damn. But let's get back into the NFL. Big storylines. Let's start with a couple Pac-12 guys. Sam Darnold officially signed his contract. He had been holding out for a couple weeks there, so he missed about three days of training camp. But he signed 4 years, $30.2 million. And as a first-round draft pick, that is all guaranteed. So he got a $20 million signing bonus right up front. Here you go, Sam.
That's crazy. So $20 million signing bonus, 4 years, $30 million. That's all guaranteed?
All guaranteed.
Unless the NFL doesn't do guaranteed money.
So that's first-round draft picks, but there's language written in the contracts, and this is why he was holding out. There's language written in the contracts that say, we don't have to pay you if this and that. If you get caught, you get suspended for drugs or domestic abuse or X, Y, and Z. But one of the things in there that he was fighting was if he gets cut after his like third year or they release him. So he was trying to basically argue that, no, that's still, you're still going to give me the money that you owe me. So that's what took him so long. But they came to some kind of conclusion because he got his money.
He's like, hey, listen, I've done nothing in this league and I want you to pay me all of what I'm worth, even though I haven't proved a damn thing.
You gotta love it, right? You gotta
That's
love
what
it.
I want. And they were like, you know what? You make a great argument. Yeah. Sign the dotted line.
Absolutely. So, but congrats to him, right? That's pretty friggin' awesome. I mean,
it's a big deal. I mean, I know nobody's getting the Sam Bradford rookie contracts anymore, right? He was like the last guy to just like make a ridiculous amount of money, but 4 years, $30 million, $20 million signing bonus in the NFL football. You just never know what can happen. So making that big chunk of change.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It's crazy. And think about it. Like 3 months ago, he was sitting in like a biology class.
I know.
Just like,
I know.
And now he's got $20 million in the bank.
A year and a half ago, he had just got the starting role.
Yeah, because
he start 2 full years at USC. Max Brown was the starting quarterback in the game that we saw at AT&T Stadium in Alabama. And then all of a sudden, flash forward 1 year, he's a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Yeah.
You know, like, he went from nothing to something really fast.
Really fast. And hey, you got to cash in while you can, so I don't blame him. Not at all.
Yep.
$20 million just right in your bank account. Here you go.
What do you do with that?
Lord. Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, I'd buy a house. I feel like that's a good investment.
He's got smart parents. He's from San Clemente. His parents got some dough.
Yeah.
You know, he's not the kind of kid that seems like he's going to blow it. You know, seems like a humble dude. So
yeah,
I think he'll be a successful human being, whether or not he's a successful quarterback in the NFL.
I mean, my answer to that question would be so different if you asked me that like 6 or 7 years ago compared to now being a 30-year-old. Like, what would you do? I'd invest and I'd buy a house. That's what I'd do.
Long-term returns.
S&P 500, S&P 500 all day, okay? That's what I'm putting it into. But anyways, congrats to him. It's going to be fun. Who do you think, now that every one of the first-round quarterbacks is signed, who do you think's got who's going to be the first one to step on the field?
The first one to step on the field? I mean, probably Baker.
You think so?
I haven't watched a ton of his, you know, practice film or any of that, like preseason stuff, obviously. But I just feel like they drafted him in that spot for a reason,
right? But Tyrod, they have Tyrod Taylor.
That chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How many, I guess, how many games do they give Tyrod Taylor before they bench him? But the Browns have talent. If Flash Gordon can stay mentally strong, then they have the juice. Jarvis Landry. I mean, they have.
It's like saying if Gronk could just not party, you'd just be so much better on the field. Well, yeah, guess what? No, I agree with you. I mean, I've seen a ton of posts all day, every day about the amount of talent that Cleveland has stacked up. I mean, they kind of have, right? And does a whole bunch of, you know, crazy superstars that have their, I don't want to say flash in the pan talents, but that have surface talent, you know, work? You know, I don't know, because it seems like a team like the Patriots that doesn't pick up guys like that seems to work a little better.
Right.
But I mean, the team's got more talent than they have in a really long time. So I just feel like if you draft somebody at number one overall, you throw them in the fire.
Yeah.
Why not? What are you waiting for? Like, what are you trying to preserve in not busting them out there game one?
That's fair.
That's it.
That's fair. Other than Tyrod Taylor did take the Bills to the playoffs last year.
Yeah. Well, well.
I'm just saying. I think Tyrod Taylor gets three games, and if he doesn't win one of the first three, or doesn't perform exceptionally well, like where, you know, the Browns put up 30 points but they lose 33-30 each week, so he's doing his job but the defense isn't stopping anybody. I think after three games, Baker's in there.
Is Tyrod Taylor a top 10 quarterback in this league?
No, not even close.
Has he played long enough for us to make that determination?
Yeah, I think so. Like
who the F cares if he's decent or better than Baker Mayfield? The Cleveland Browns don't want to be 8-8. I mean, holy freaking crap.
That's an 800% improvement. Yes. No, that's a million. That's actually a 1,000,000% improvement.
Tyrod Taylor ain't, you know, he's not one of those guys. They drafted Baker to be that guy. So let him be that guy.
Right.
Tyrod Taylor can sit on the bench, and if Baker doesn't do well, Tyrod Taylor can come in and win 3 or 4 games. Congratulations, loser. Tyrod Taylor's not going to take it in the Super Bowl. He's just not.
That's fair.
And they drafted Baker Mayfield to do just that. So
fair.
Get the journeyman out of the way. Let the superstar come in and prove his worth. If he's not going to prove it, move on to the next guy. But if you're Cleveland, got to make moves.
I agree. But I think that the person that's going to step on the field first is probably the one who is least prepared, and that's going to be Josh Allen with the Bills, speaking of that.
Yeah, true.
Because his only other competition is Nathan Peterman, who, if you don't remember, in his first NFL start threw 5 interceptions.
Oh, gosh.
And A.J. McCarron, who, maybe. People are saying that when he was backup for the Bengals or whatever, he was he has some talent. So, but I still think Josh Allen's going to start first. But what do I know? We just shoot the shit here on the podcast. We have actually no idea.
True.
Other Pac-12 quarterback I want to talk about, Andrew Luck. Shoulder is officially healed, and he has said he will be ready to go first week.
Holy freaking crap.
I think
I haven't seen Andrew Luck play football, I feel like, since I was 13 years old.
Since, like, Vietnam. Seriously, though, I think he is an absolute game changer. So if he is healthy and back, the Colts automatically, I feel like, become a playoff team. He's that good.
I mean, do they, like, when he was healthy, were they that good?
Yes. I'm going to look up the stats just so I don't misspeak.
Okay, stats aside, because...
Not stats, all record. Look up records.
Because football it's about more than one guy throwing a bunch of, you know, completions and yards and blah, blah, blah. Now, Indianapolis is in a... I mean, when he was healthy, they were in a really crappy division. But I feel like the division's better now.
Yes, so...
Who's in their division?
I'm not sure. I can look that up, too. 2012, 11-5. 2013, 11-5. 2014, 11-5. 2015 and 2016, when he was hurt, 2-5, 8-7.
Yeah.
And they went to the playoffs those first 3 years he was there. So,
AFC South is Indy, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Houston.
Oh,
now, when he was healthy, that division was terrible.
Yeah, that was not a good... But now, that's a tough division.
But now Jacksonville's legit, and they're only getting better. They got our boy, Bortles.
Blake.
our boy. of the podcast. And then they got Tennessee is on the up and up. Marcus Mariota is a stud.
They have the best Pac-12 quarterback in, or they have the best quarterback in Pac-12 history in Marcus Mariota.
Whoa. Did you just say that?
You damn right I did.
Are you choking on something? Are you trying to like eat a snack and all of a sudden like your voice made that noise?
Nope.
He didn't even win a national championship.
But he won a Heisman.
So what? That's like 12 USC quarterbacks won a Heisman. There's only like a couple. Because that's still really good.
I think only one. Matt Leinart. Oh, Carson Palmer. Two.
Come on.
That's something that we could debate. We'll
get out of here with that nonsense.
I don't know. We got to look at stats.
What I was saying, and then also we have Houston, who Deshaun Watson is an absolute.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So I love Deshaun Watson
coming back. Jacksonville with that defense only getting better, and our boy Blake Bortles only getting better. Tennessee with Marcus Mariota, who's the third or fourth best quarterback in the Pac-12, which is very impressive. And then Indy's got to play against those three teams. I don't know. That's rough. He's got his work cut out for him. Well, he was out for 7 years, nursing a shoulder injury like a baby. The whole division just got super legit.
Yeah, I actually retract my statement. I don't think he's an immediate playoff. Takes him to an immediate playoff team only because of that division. Like
not that division. Yeah, that's brutal.
That's a really tough division.
It literally used to be the worst in the NFL.
Yeah, like the laughing stock. It was like, which team is going to make it out of the AFC South or whatever they are to just get blown out in the first round of the playoffs?
And now they're right up there with the NFC South, which is Atlanta, mm-hmm. Carolina, Tampa Bay, mm-hmm. New Orleans, and that division is freaking brutal too.
Oh, man. I am so looking forward to the NFL football season to start and college football, but anyways, I think it's gonna be great to have him back. I'm excited.
Me too. It's good to have him out there. Honestly, he's one of the best pure talents to come out of the Pac-12 or college football in general in so long. Smart, big arm, strong, athletic kid, great guy, doesn't make mistakes off the field, so I wish him all the best, jokes aside.
Absolutely. Same. And I do hope his shoulder's back because he's been out a long time, so it should be healthy by now, I would imagine.
Oh my gosh. If it's unhealthy by now, forget it.
Oh, man. Let's see. So, I mean, to transition a little to something not as fun, not as good, but staying in the football realm, Urban Meyer, he's going to get fired, right?
You think so?
I just don't think you can do that. I don't think you can not report multiple times.
So there's a couple things I thought about that, right? Like my first instinct is
should we give the backstory first if people don't know?
Sure, go ahead.
So Urban Meyer is now placed on administrative leave because there is information surfacing that once when he was at Florida in 2009 and once in 2015 at Ohio State, the same wide receiver coach Zach Smith basically beat up his wife. And the first time in Florida, he sat down and talked with the couple and they helped him get counseling, but didn't really report it. And then the second one, he's now saying that he had no idea that it happened. However, there is a whole lot of evidence out there that the guy's wife was talking to Urban Meyer's wife and that Urban Meyer's wife was telling the other wife that she's going to have to tell Urban. But now he's coming out saying that he knew nothing about the second incident and didn't report it because he didn't know. So, what were your thoughts on that?
My first thought is, he's huge for college football.
Mm-hmm.
Huge for the program of Ohio State. Brought that program back. They've never really been in the dumps. I mean, they're Ohio State. They're one of the top five programs in the country. Always have been, always will be. But for someone to be brought down from that type of pedestal, it takes a lot.
Yep.
The sports networks want him there. College football wants him there. The conference wants him there. He's good for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this isn't as egregious as some of the things we've seen people dethroned for, like the Joe Paterno situation, a couple of other situations, right? A little bit more serious than this. I'm not downplaying domestic violence by any means. But what I'm saying is he doesn't have a track record that would prove that he has done anything like this before, and because the conference and the program wants him there, I feel like there needs to be, you know, some legitimate proof that comes out there that really proves this. He has kind of a history of maybe covering things up from what I've read a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm just not 100% sold that he's gone yet. He's just so successful, and he's such a big name. You know, really going to pin him to the wall to get him out of there.
I mean, my initial thought after all of the information came out that his wife knew, and there's like text messages of them exchanging back and forth pictures of what had happened and talking about what she was going to do and asking for a restraining order. My initial thought was, this is a lose-lose, right? Because she either told him and he hid it, or she told him and he's lying that she didn't tell him. Because there's clear evidence that she... There's no way that she didn't talk to him as his wife about it. I don't think that that is something that she would keep from him. And so she's either screwed because it looks like she didn't pass on the information to Urban Meyer or didn't do anything, or he's screwed in that she did pass it on and he didn't do anything, and they both didn't do anything. So I think it's a really sticky situation. I think Ohio State got rid of Jim Tressel for players that got improper benefits, and this is much worse than that.
True. And the moral of the story for me is, screw the Big Ten. Get him out of there. We'll take their recruits. Let's move on.
I also just think, like, and the pressures of being a Division I coach and going through some of that stuff, I guess maybe doesn't allow people to think super clear, but with everything that's happened in recent history with Joe Paterno and a bunch of the other stuff, like, why, when something like this happens, you just immediately go tell somebody? Just literally call someone on the phone right then and say, I don't know if it's true, but this is what I heard. Document that I told you.
Because you are a superstar. You're on TV all the time. You're on the radio all the time. People kiss your feet when you walk by at these, like, you feel like, and it's the same thing with professional athletes and actors and all these celebrities that are trying to get away with this kind of stuff. People try to get away with tax evasion all the time. The IRS doesn't mess around, and people do it, and they go to jail for it. It's because they feel like they're invincible. And when you have that celebrity, you have that kind of money, and people are yes men all around you, you feel like you're untouchable. And at the end of the day, I mean, nobody's untouchable. Think about the people of the last 10 years that have gone down for the silliest of crap.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's nobody ever puts you in check when you're that rich and you're that famous. And if you pay these guys, you pay these coaches $7 million a year, I'm not going to sit there and feel bad for you if you have that type of responsibility.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just crazy. Yeah. It's crazy to me to think that the amount of backlash, regardless of how many years later people find out you didn't say anything. Like, I don't know. I don't see the... I guess with the trade-off for me is that you say immediately, and you may lose a coach that you've been close with.
What, wide receivers coach? That's going to destroy your program? Come on.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. So, like, you find out about this. Why are you trying to protect a wide receivers coach that you can go get? Literally, there's probably 50 other guys chomping at the bit to have that job. And I don't think that it's worth hiding something like that. So I don't know why he did it.
Yeah, the only explanation is he felt like, he's like, I'm the man, you know, and I can cover this up easy.
Yeah.
No big deal. But I mean, if you look at someone, I mean, Joe Pa is like the legend of legends.
Yeah.
You know?
And they fired him.
And he got brought down. So it's like, no matter how famous you are, I mean, like, this stuff doesn't fly anymore. And from a, you know, public relations perspective, the smallest thing, because of all the stuff that happened, the court of public opinion crucifies you. Like, it just doesn't matter.
Well, and
it can be the smallest thing people call for your head. That's it. You're done.
Well, and that's my thing, right? So, like, for me, why would you not head off the backlash of public opinion by just reporting it and documenting that you're reporting it? And then that way, the school can come out and say, hey, this is information we got from multiple sources, one of them including Urban Meyer. We're going to launch an internal investigation. Then it's the school coming down on them instead of this, where it looks like you have a program that's hiding a bunch of stuff, one of which is a coach beating up his wife. I just feel like the consequence of not saying anything becomes so much more when people find out that you didn't say anything than if you just say it right at the beginning, whether it's true or not, and let the investigation happen. And then if it's not, if nothing happened, then you let the legal process do its thing. And if it did happen, then you did what you were supposed to do anyways, and the legal process will take care of that guy.
I mean, I think that the issue is, at the time you blow that whistle, it looks like you hired a guy who beats his wife.
That's true.
And you're like, this is my guy, mm-hmm. but, you know, he's this guy, he's that guy. Like, who are you surrounding yourself with? Why are you hiring coaches? And are this gonna, how could you be best friends with someone with this and that? And all of a sudden it looks back, you're like, you know what, it's easier to just, you know, push this under the rug and hope it never comes out. And then I can keep my super talented wide receivers coach yeah. and not look like, you know, a guy that hires domestic violence.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think the one of the other things that makes this story so big is that, one, like you said, Urban Meyer is so successful, but he's also been kind of like a moral figure, because he always talks about religion and how close he is with his wife and how loving he is and how he tries to take in guys and give them second chances. Like, that's what he talked about at Florida. And so he's always been kind of like the moral high ground guy. And so to see have this happen now, I feel like, is a double fall from grace for him. If you know what I mean. Same with Joe Paterno. Like, he didn't have a blemish on his name. I don't know. It's not like it's some shady coach coming out that did this and people are like, well, yeah, we could definitely have seen him doing something like that. So I don't know. And that's why I feel like it's a little bit bigger of a story than that, than normal, because he has that kind of clout about him.
Yeah. You have to be spotless these days. I mean, you have to, like you said, you have to just, if you see somebody jaywalking, you just go to the police station. Like, you just tell them. You just don't want to be the guy that gets in trouble for watching, witnessing somebody jaywalking and not reporting it. I mean, that's the world we live in. There's just, everybody's aware of everything that's happening, and you can't be the guy that knew something that you didn't report. I mean, you, it's hard, man. I mean, being squeaky clean these days, it's difficult. So,
yeah.
I if he gets fired, like, I'm happy about it, because, like I said, I hate the Big Ten. Yeah. So I'm okay with that, but it sucks. That sucks that another big coach goes down.
I know. Do you think he ever bounces back from this if he does get fired? Ever gets let back in?
Somewhere, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, he can work his way back up. He's won at all levels, so he just apologizes for 2 or 3 years, and then you think Western Michigan or Rutgers wouldn't give him a head coaching job, please.
True. Good news is everyone can agree that that wide receivers coach is a douche.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of the only things in a long time that the whole United States can agree on.
the thing is, too, is, like, we're forgetting about that guy. Nobody's talking about that
guy. Yeah, they're all talking about Urban Meyer. I know, it's true.
Nobody's talking about the guy that actually beats the crap out of his wife all the time. They're talking about the coach that knew something one time and then didn't report it. Like, no, how about we talk about the guy that, you know, that backhands his wife every other night. Like, what's up with that? Like, let's put that guy in the front of the media, except the problem is nobody cares about that guy because nobody knows who he is. But
right. That's
kind of the sad part, is that you're almost crucifying the wrong dude here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Urban Meyer has fault for sure, but the real criminal is the wide receiver coach. And I feel like that does get overlooked. And I think there's a correlation between how replaceable you are in whatever industry you're in and how much attention is put on you, right? So, like, the reason why there's not a whole lot of attention put on the wide receivers coach is because, like we said, he's easily replaceable with one of the other 50 wide receiver coaches in the country, as opposed to Urban Meyer is very hard to replace. And it's so he's going to get a lot more attention and going to be a lot more scrutinized on what he did and didn't do. So, I don't know.
True.
Interesting things to think about and talk about. But, so obviously that was a little bit of a downer. Let's move on to something a little bit more fun. Let's get into some more Gabbin golf. We're getting into the kind of the hot season of golf. So why don't you take it away, Kyle?
Dude, hot season is right. So this is literally really starting with the Open Championship a couple weeks ago, especially starting this week. This is really, you know, the most important part of the PGA Tour season. This is when everything kind of comes together. You really only have one or two break weeks for the next 8 weeks. You have 8 PGA Tour tournaments left in the season. And I know it's only like the beginning of August, but the season really ends at the end of September. Then you have a break, and then it's the wraparound season, you know, for the next year or whatever. But this week we have the WGC World Golf Championships, the Bridgestone Invitational at Firestone Country Club, the South Course. Tiger shot a 4-under today. He was actually 5-under and then missed a 12-foot par putt on 18 to end up at 4-under. But he's like tied for 14th or something like that. He's right there. It's really the best first round he's shot in a long time. So he's won.
You know who else is 4-under? Lefty, Phil Mickelson. Don't forget about him. This could be a great tournament if the two of them continue to play like they're playing.
More to come on that.
Yep, more to come.
So Tiger's actually played in this tournament 10 times in his career. He's won 8 of them.
Oh my goodness, really?
He's played 10 times. He's won 8. And the two in the middle that he didn't win, he was T4 and T2.
Wow.
So
for those of you who don't know, that's tied for 4th and tied for 2nd for the layman.
Yeah.
In layman's
terms. Layman. Yeah, you're right. good clarification. So we have the WGC Virtual Invitational this week. Next week, PGA Championship at Belle Reve in St. Louis, Missouri. So back-to-back huge tournaments for the big names. And then you have a one-week break where we have the Wyndham Championship that's only a $6 million purse, so none of the big guys play in it because it's a break before the FedEx Cup playoffs. Mm-hmm. Starting August 23rd, Northern Trust, then the Dell Technologies Championship, the BMW Championship, and then the top 30 go to East Lake in Atlanta for the Tour Championship. Right then, after the Tour Championship, is the Ryder Cup in Le Golf National in France, Paris. So outside of that Northern Trust Open, that break, you have one major, one WGC, and then 4 FedEx Cup playoff tournaments. Tiger's going to be pretty much playing in every single one of them. Then he's a shoo-in for the Ryder Cup. Whether people believe it or not, Jim Furyk's going to pick him. No argument's going to make any sense to me. So these next 8 weeks are the most exciting 8 weeks in the entire year on the PGA Tour schedule.
You mean Jim, Frank Underwood, Furyk?
Oh, yeah. Yep. He's going to have to lop a couple heads off and make a couple side deals if he wants Tiger to not be on that team, I'll tell you that.
Oh, definitely an interesting time. While we're on it, and I know it's a few weeks out, obviously, but why don't you also explain the FedEx Cup and how that actually plays out the last couple weeks of the golf season?
Sure. So the top 130 players in the FedEx Cup standings make the Northern Trust Open. Northern Trust Open is the first FedEx Cup playoff tournament. 130 players make that tournament. After the Northern Trust Open, the top, I think it's 80? Mm. Either 100, maybe 100. I think it's 100 players make the Dell Technologies Championship. And then after Dell, that gets cut down to 70 or 65 for the BMW Championship. And then the top 30 make the Tour Championship. So each week, it is super important to score well, finish in the top 10. That way you can gain those FedEx Cup points. You can get to the next tournament. Tiger right now is sitting at number 47 in the FedEx Cup playoff, so he's pretty much in a good position to get to at least the BMW, and then if he has a couple good tournaments, he'll be a shoo-in for East Lake, which is actually super fun because top 30 players in the standings, no cut, like two-person pairings.
Right.
Nobody's going off for the 10th hole. It's like the best of the best going at it. $10 million FedEx Cup grand prize.
Dang. And that's what we talked about is the deferred money. Right, they can actually take that later.
We talked about that.
Yeah, which is crazy. So, just to clarify, winning the FedEx Cup doesn't mean you won the last tournament of the year. It just means that you have won the most amount of points over the FedEx Cup tournaments.
Yeah, so clarification, 125 with the Northern Trust, 100 for the Dell Technologies Championship, 70 for the BMW, and then the 30 for the Tour Championship. Now, going into the Tour Championship, the 30 get reseeded. So, for example, if Dustin Johnson is ahead by a gajillion points going into that top 30, everything resets, and then you have a predetermined amount of points based on your standing, whether it be 1 to 30, going into that final tournament. That way, if you have a ridiculous lead going into that tournament, it's still fair game. The top 5 players in that top 30 control their own destiny. Where if they win the Tour Championship, they win the FedEx Cup.
Dang. Okay. Good to know.
Yep.
That's our insider information, Gavin Golf.
Hey.
Thank you.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. but yeah, definitely interesting time for golf, getting into the swing of things, getting into the heat of it. We'll be keeping an eye. We'll be bringing the shakiest gun on the West a couple more times before the end of the year to hope to maybe have some fun and maybe give us some insight and maybe tell us who he thinks is going to win.
He'll give us some super shaky probable picks he might choose.
We didn't even talk about this. I meant to say this last week, but that was literally the shakiest gun in the West thing you could do.
Oh my gosh, is that maybe choose somebody saying, well, you know what, I normally like these three people,
yeah,
but I'm going to possibly maybe choose this guy. It's like, what other kind of qualifiers can you put on a statement to make it seem like a win-win for you? Like, if they lose, you say, well, I didn't choose him. I said I might choose him. Yeah. And if they lose, you're like, well, check out my text. I circled it. I chose him. Like, look at all of the words you put before his name. You didn't choose him. If you want to go to Vegas and make those statements,
that's
they're,
what
looking him like, they're looking at him like, I'm not taking your money, dude. That's
a great segue. You're sitting at the roulette table putting it either maybe on red or maybe on black. Doesn't work that way. You don't get to like put it in the middle and just count it for both no matter what. Speaking of gambling, though, good segue. NBA just partnered with MGM Grand, or the MGM. Sorry, not the MGM Grand specifically. To have the first ever partnership for sports betting.
That's right.
Which is pretty awesome. The NBA announced a deal on Tuesday. They'll make MGM the league's official gaming partner. So it's a little bit confusing because I didn't really understand what each side was getting at first, but I found a good article that kind of breaks it down, so I'm just going to read it to you. So the MGM, they get the rights to NBA league and team logos, highlights, access to the official league data feed, and the tag of being the official gaming partner, air quotes, of the NBA and WNBA.
Yeah, and first of all, I have the same article in front of me. And second of all, who wants to be the official gaming partner of the WNBA?
Hey, if you can make money off it, what does it matter?
Don't be politically correct.
It's true.
Nobody cares about the WNBA.
You know they only play like 30 games in a season?
In front of their friends and family.
Well, yes. I know, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like 30 is such a short season.
It's short, and I feel bad saying this, and I feel bad for all of the WNBA players that are fantastic basketball players. They really are.
Yeah.
They're phenomenal athletes. They're incredible in college, and they deserve to make more money than they do. It's just the market's not there, and the fans aren't there.
Yeah.
And so they don't get paid. I think Dana Taurasi makes, like, $200,000 a year.
Well, yeah, I think there, like, a couple years ago when she was, like, the stud, I think she was making, like, 170 grand, but then was going over to play in Russia in the offseason because she was making, like, a million. It was like, so geez. Yeah.
But the problem is that people talk about, like, you know, the female and male, you know, how much they make versus the other sex and blah, 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 and it's like the market's just not there.
Yeah.
It's like the World Cup thing, and I don't want to get into this, right? But it's like, the women's national soccer team and the men's national soccer team. And the men make like five times as more than everybody's saying the women are better. It's not fair. The problem is it's capitalism. It's about how many fans you can drive to the stadium, how much ratings you can drive through people watching it. If the money's there, then they'll pay you.
Yeah.
If the money's not there, they're not going to pay you. And that's the problem with the WNBA, and it sucks. And I know that the NBA goes out there and they put these commercials on and they tell these NBA players, you know, hype it up, do this and they do that. But it's just so much less exciting. And I feel like if you just lower the rim, and I'm going way off on a tangent, if you just lower the rim, it'd be so much better. Like, why do we have a lower volleyball net for women?
Yeah.
We have a smaller ball in basketball. You know, we have a closer tees. They don't think the ball is far in golf. Every single sport, you know, there's a little bit of adjustment because women just aren't as physically powerful. Make the same adjustment in basketball and give these women a chance to show how athletic they are so they can actually make some real money.
Yeah, I think you made a lot of good points there.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. You got into hate mode a little bit,
I was in like help mode. I'm trying to help.
I'm just saying, like you said, they're unbelievable basketball players, and so it's nothing against their talent. But sometimes, you know, if the Golden State Warriors sell out a 38,000 person stadium every night 41 times a year plus playoffs, and the Minnesota Lynx have 10,000 people 15 times a year, like you said, the revenue is just not the same. So
it's just not fair.
Yeah. So, I mean, but the WNBA should figure it out because, like I said, they're really good. Like, you watch them and they're very good basketball players. And I think the reason I like the NBA is because I like to see the alley-oops and the dunks and all of that. And so if they can incorporate that somehow into the WNBA where that's happening, I would watch it because I like basketball. So, like, I don't know. I think that it would be fun, but that's how that goes. A couple of years ago, my brother and I just decided to pick a WNBA team that we were going to follow and support just because. And he picked the Seattle Storm, and I picked the Tulsa Shock.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I don't believe the Tulsa Shock is in the league anymore.
Well, it's actually funny. The first thing I thought about when you said that is I actually appreciate that the WNBA teams have appropriate names for their city.
Mm.
Whereas the NBA teams have moved around so much, nothing makes sense.
Yeah.
The LA Lakers, you have, you know, the Utah Jazz. You have all these like teams that like they originally started somewhere else and they kept their same team name. And so now you have nowhere else. There's no freaking lakes in LA. There's no Jazz in Utah. At least the WNBA has region-appropriate mascots.
Right.
So bravo, WNBA.
But now
back to gambling.
Well, sorry, now they're the Dallas Wings, just to close that circle. Tulsa Shock became the Dallas Wings.
Wings?
Wings.
Like flap-flap?
Like, yeah, like flap-flap wings.
That's weird.
You just went on geographically appropriate rant, and then I dropped the Dallas Wings on you.
Wings? What the heck?
Anyways, so they're no longer the Tulsa Shock, but that's okay.
Well, there goes that.
Anyway, so yeah, back to gambling. So what does the NBA get? Why don't you take that?
Yeah. So the deal, according to sources, blew to be a $25 million over 3 years for the NBA. That's small change for the NBA. The value, though, may come through the creation of a market for their direct data feed. Now the MGM has signed up, other competitors have a decision to make. Is the access to data that the NBA is worth, is the access to data that the NBA is offering worth it? So that is small change for the NBA, and I feel like they're just starting something that's eventually going to get bigger.
Right.
And now that gambling is legal, you know, statewide, pretty much everywhere, I think that there's money to be made here and somebody's got to start somewhere, so... That's interesting. We'll see where it goes. They're going to police it and patrol it pretty closely.
Yeah.
For the sake of, you know, people's public safety and financial well-being. But it's going to end up being big business, and so somebody's got to get in it first.
Yeah, and I think it's a good step. But I also think, big picture, regardless of what you feel about gambling or betting, it just shows the difference in the progressiveness and how much Adam Silver of the NBA actually listens to the fans and the players and how he tries to take what's going on in society and use it to make the NBA better as an organization. And this is one of them, as opposed to the NFL constantly has fights because I feel like they're so archaic in the way that they do things and how they address issues or whatever it is. So I think this is just another example of how the NBA is increasingly just better organized and better run than the NFL.
The NBA is very progressive. I think that comes, well, the NFL's diverse too. I think that comes with the fact that your greatest players are minorities in the NBA, right? And I know that there's obviously a very strong African-American population in the NFL, but your superstars are still white quarterbacks. Mm. Let's be real, right? It's different. So the NBA has a little bit of a leg up there, and you're right. Adam Silver's super progressive. The NFL is just an old boys club.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, they're going to have to eventually change it, but if they keep paying that commissioner, maybe it won't.
Yeah. I mean, what does Goodell make? Like $40 million a year? Oh my God. Like
something just ungodly.
It's honestly, unbelievable.
The bottom line business, and he protects the bottom line, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But, yeah, I also think the NBA having less players is beneficial to how Adam Silver can connect, because each team only has 15, and so each superstar from each team, he can have a personal relationship with them, as opposed to NFL is 32 teams with four or five of the guys are stars where one of them may be a superstar. But, you know, I feel like it's just a little bit harder to have so many high-profile people that to connect with, and I feel like Adam Silver does that better. I almost called him Adam Sandler, which would be really funny to actually have a movie of him being the NBA commissioner.
Man, they are just so not the same guy. Adam Silver's like the dorkiest looking dude you could ever imagine.
Oh, man. Speaking of one of those high-profile personalities in the NBA, LeBron James, and I know you're going to love this. He opened his first school. The I Promise School opened on Monday to serve low-income and at-risk students in Akron, his hometown. He's got a lot of good stuff. He takes the kids that are a little bit lower academically and focuses on accelerated learning. He provides job placements and assistance for parents. Also helps them get their GED. On-site food bank. Supports students with stress from economic causes. He gives every student a bike, or they can use a Lyft or Uber within 2 miles of the school. And he guarantees free college tuition to the University of Akron to all graduates starting in 2021. A little crack there. The curriculum is more anchored in like STEM, so science, technology, engineering, and math, to help what he and his team thinks will help prepare students for jobs in the future better than some other schools. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's great. I mean, it's my boy. He's doing it for the community, right? I mean, it's a great thing. Free tuition, free breakfast and lunch, free college tuition, like you said, to University of Akron, GED programs for the parents. He's trying to do something good for the community. He's always been big for that community in the Akron area. And, you know, this is a guy that's, you know, even though a whole bunch of people are, you know, anti-LeBron, he's never really done anything that terrible off the court. He's always been good in his community. He has always been, you know, great with charity and raising money and doing the right thing and giving back. So this is just another example of that. The guy's a class act. Yeah. Like him or not, whether you think he's the greatest player in the NBA or not, he's a class act. He cares about his community. He cares about his people. And this is just another example of that. This comes in the wake of him leaving for Los Angeles.
Right.
You know, like he said, you know what? Like, yeah, I'm going to LA and I'm trying to win a championship out there. But this is my home. And I'm from Akron and I went to high school here and I still practice the high school every once in a while. And it's never not going to be my home. So I'm still going to get this done and I'm still going to care about this community. And, you know, whether I play my final years, you know, in some other city, this is where I grew up. So hats off to my boy.
Yeah, no, I think I have a couple thoughts on this. I think the first one, to touch on your LeBron Jordan comments, I think no one is debating who the better human being is between LeBron and Jordan. I think everyone knows that LeBron takes the cake if you were to compare the two of them.
Thank you. Please shout that from the rooftops because some people don't understand that.
I'm saying human being. Jordan was known for his gambling and his love of women and the way he treated people wasn't always the best, his teammates included.
He's a jerk.
He could be a jerk, yes. Yeah, now that doesn't change my opinion on who I think is a better basketball player, but I do appreciate LeBron and what he's trying to do for his community. Now, this is not to offend you at all. The thing that is somewhat bothering me about this whole situation is, as great as it is, and as great as it is for him to give back to the city he grew up in Akron, I have a little bit of concern with how they're making it out to be like this is the only thing that's ever happened school-wise for people trying to help at-risk and impoverished communities. A lot of this stuff, there are charter schools already and districts, public school districts, that are trying to do a lot of these same things. I worked in South Central LA for 3 years. A lot of these same things, minus the guaranteed free college education, they were really pushing for. More mental health services for kids in trauma, accelerated learning, trying to get them into more science and technology, food banks, clothing, access to jobs and internships outside of school, being able to take classes at the junior college while they're still in high school to try and start them on that path. So as much as I appreciate what he's doing and how good he is, I just don't like the fact that it's like he's the best doing what no one else has ever thought of in education, because there is a lot of this already going on right now. And even the district that I work in right now has some really, really cool things going on for the people in this community as far as needing legal assistance and documentation assistance and translation services and all that sort of stuff. And so I think I would, like I said, I appreciate what he's doing. I just wish it wasn't such a big deal as if he's the only one that's ever thought of doing stuff like this, because I think it takes away from the people in the organizations that are really out there and have been doing this for a long time, trying to affect change in these lower income communities. But like I said, him specifically doing it in Akron in what he thinks is the best way, I think the more positive influence in education we can get, the better. And I think what he's doing is very admirable. And so I hope he succeeds, and I hope he can duplicate it and do it in either more schools in Akron or more schools all over the United States. If he could partner with Dwayne Wade from Chicago and all his other buddies in the NBA that want to start their own school in their own cities, I think could be a really cool thing. Because I think, aside from some of the other organizations and things that are doing this, what LeBron has behind him is, obviously, he's LeBron James, right? So he's going to get a lot of backing and a lot of support because of who he is and what he's done as a professional athlete. And so I hope that he continues to use his platform in a positive way like he is.
Agreed. No, those are great points. I think it just, it sucks, but sometimes it takes a celebrity to shine a light.
Yeah.
So that's just what he's trying to do. And I don't think he's obviously not trying to diminish any of the efforts that anybody's trying to do that are very similar to what he's doing. It is a bummer that, it can't be more well recognized when it's not a celebrity shining a light, but that's just, unfortunately, that's the way this world works, right?
Absolutely. And I don't think LeBron is personally doing that. I think it comes with a lot of the people who don't necessarily know a lot about some of the things that are going on in the U.S. as far as education intervention goes. And so I think it comes as if, like, everybody else is so stupid, why are they not doing what LeBron's doing? And it's like, hey, I busted my ass for 3 years in South Central LA and now in West Phoenix, which are similar demographically and similar troubles going on and issues. And so it's like, there's a lot of good stuff going on already. And so I'm not trying to diminish what he's doing either. I just hope that people understand that there is a lot of this stuff going on already in the United States. So. But I would like to work for him. So if he's looking for a school psychologist, LeBron, I'm here for you. But anywho, shout out to him, though. I think it's really cool. And I do think one of the coolest aspects, I think, that a lot of people aren't doing is the guaranteed college tuition paid for if you make it through his school, the K-8 in high school and all that. That's obviously huge, because that is something that isn't necessarily guaranteed in other organizations. So. Hats off to him. That's good. Good. I appreciate him and his efforts. Like I said, it doesn't change who I think is the best player in NBA history, but it does influence how much I care about LeBron as a human being.
He's the best player in education history.
Hey, I like that. I like that. Oh, man, this has been... we've had a lot of kind of serious issues on this podcast.
Deep,
this
is a deep podcast. I almost feel like I should be, like, meditating or something right now while I'm doing this. It's just really, we should be sitting on the ground in the, Indian style.
Yeah. Humming.
Yeah. It's just, the vibe is very, it's very intense. It's very,
But what I will say about our podcast is that we're also problem solvers. We're not just problem labelers. We're not just saying, hey, this is a problem.
Because of identifying a problem without proposing a solution is just bitching.
Yeah. That's Full Tilt Bozo is what it is. I like that saying. I heard it in a Robin Williams film that I watched. Speaking of staying in some pretty deep stuff. Jeez. But yeah, he said that to somebody on set one time. I thought it was freaking hilarious. Okay, let's move on to a little bit more fun, kind of lighten the mood up a little bit here. Blitz package, where anything goes. I'll start because I got a good one.
Sure.
So, story has surfaced that a few days ago, maybe a week or so ago, Draymond Green approached Tristan Thompson at some event and tried to apologize about the way things went down in Game 4 and the trash talking and all that. Tristan Thompson refused. After some exchanged words, Tristan Thompson punched Draymond Green in the face. Apparently, it was the only punch thrown. So, my two-part question for you. First, how happy are you that Draymond Green got punched in the face? Second, and I know I've asked this before on the podcast, who do you want to punch in the face right now?
Oh man, Draymond so deserved it. He deserved every. So some of the reports I read said that we weren't sure if it was like a face smash. Okay. You know, like that thing where you like kind of like
push his face,
Push him away. Or and some people said it was a quick 1-2.
Oh,
like a bam bam, like a left right.
Okay,
which feels a little bit. I mean, like if you're in the heat of the moment, nobody throws like a left jab and a right jab. That's right. Way too calculated. Either way, Draymond deserved it. I mean, who doesn't want to punch Draymond in the face? Like, that guy's such a turd.
I'm so surprised that you feel that way about him, considering the other sports figures that you like Patrick Reed and Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, touche.
I don't know why you hate him so much when, like, I feel like they're cut from the same cloth. That kind of rub it in your face.
He's like the fourth best warrior, and he acts like he's the first.
That's fair.
It's like one of my things, right? He's out there talking about just like doing this and that. I'm like, dude, you're like one good player away from coming off the bench. So relax. That's my thing. It's fair. Like, dude, you are one trade away from being like the sixth man.
Right.
So chill out. Like, nobody's ever said, like, Draymond should have won that MVP in the finals. Like, nobody's ever said that.
Yeah. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you? 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest.
I'm a solid 8.7. Okay. I got punched in the face.
What would have made you happier in this situation? What would have made you a 10?
If Draymond would have fought back and then gotten in trouble legally somehow. Maybe he was the instigator and he got thrown in jail for assault. Tristan Thompson, you know, skipped into the abyss with Kourtney Kardashian or whoever he used to date. You did Kourtney, right? Kourtney.
Chloe. Yeah, Chloe.
Yeah, I get them all mixed up.
Yeah. So you're 8.7.
8.7.
Okay, so you're happy. And then second part, who do you want to punch in the face right now?
Right now, I don't know. I mean, Urban Meyer comes to mind.
Yeah.
Because I don't like him. I don't like the Big Ten. Don't like him. Don't like Nick Saban. I'd punch him in the face. Although he's old, this just feels like it's mean. I don't know. I'm in a good mood, so that's good. I don't really want to punch anybody in the face.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I kind of have a layup answer to this, and it's that guy from Ohio State, the coach, the wide receiver coach.
Again, see, the media twisted me to want to focus on Urban Meyer when I'm not even focused on the guy that did the abusing. Gosh, dang it, that's frustrating.
It is frustrating. Oh, man. Yeah, I feel like I feel like the last time I asked that question was the Larry Nassar stuff. So I feel like this question comes up whenever I get really angry at the way people treat other people, especially take advantage of them. And I feel like this is another one of those situations. So I would punch Zach Smith in the face. But like that's dangerous. Hopefully nobody shows this podcast to him, because like if you're willing to like beat up your wife multiple times, you got to be a little bit crazy. And so he might like find me and beat me up before I could actually punch him in the face.
Hey, people are saying some worse things about him than you are.
That's true. It's a good point.
Today, I mean, he's getting it the last couple of days. If he's seeking people out that are talking smack, he's got quite the job on his hands.
Okay, fair enough. All right, that's it for me. What's yours?
So there's one thing we forgot to talk about. We can save it for next time because it's big and we got time. But the other thing I had was Phil and Tiger
are
scheduled to play their $10 million match Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes.
I hope it's Sunday because I might be traveling Saturday, but either way, a couple things, right? Who you got? I feel like I already know your answer.
Yeah, this is...
Jeez, we're going to be at it that weekend.
But that
and
is...
Then,
okay, go ahead.
Are they... First of all, who you got? Second of all, are they putting any of their real money up for this?
Okay, so great question. I'm upset that we forgot to talk about this earlier because it would have been good during Gab and Golf.
We forgot about something else, but I want to talk about this. We can save the other thing for next time.
Okay. So I have Phil. I'm going with Lefty.
Womp, womp, jeez. Yeah.
But I feel like this sets itself up perfectly for another beer soup, which we both haven't done. So this could be good in that we should both do beer soups this week when we're in Carlsbad. Since we
get, we should do that, yes. I know. Okay. That sucks. So, in front of my extended family, perfect. Think so much more highly of me after they see me drink soup out of a bowl with a spoon. Beer.
Yeah, it's not real soup, it's beer. Okay, so I have Phil Mickelson, and reports that I've heard are that I think they're going to put like a million in each, and the rest will be sponsors and stuff. Yeah, so I do believe there is some of their own funds going into it.
Okay. A million each, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Even to these guys, right?
But not to these guys. I've heard Tiger's valued at like $800 million, $850 million, and Phil's like $400 million.
Okay, so that's even for Tiger, that's 1/800th of what he's worth, which doesn't seem like a lot. But then let's say a regular dude is worth like $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
That means you have to put $63 on a round of golf. $63? If you're playing a round of golf for 60, if me and you and I are playing for $60,
yeah,
like we're gonna take it pretty serious.
We are, absolutely. Not? And which leads me to, this is gonna be really interesting because I want to know, are they gonna let him trash talk? Because
first of all, I don't want to interrupt you, but they better be mic'd.
Oh yeah, they have to be. They better be.
I want the holes mic'd. I want the flags mic'd. I want the flipping bunkers mic'd.
Absolutely.
I want the caddies mic'd. Like, I want to hear every little freaking thing that those guys say to each other.
And I feel like they have to do that because this is such a special event. This is not a normal golf event where I feel like it depends. Because if they feel uncomfortable with doing all that and being mic'd up, then I also don't want them to have that throw off their game.
True. Where are they going to play? Do we know?
Oh, yeah. It was released. Shadow Creek in North Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Las Vegas.
Yeah. You can only get in via limo, apparently. Green fees are normally $500 at Shadow Creek. Oh, this is not fair.
Oh, dang. This course is sick.
The course record has been held by Fred Couples, Tiger Woods, and Dustin Johnson.
Wow, this place is dope.
So here's the real question. Do they play from the tips? Or do they play from some like mid like we would play, maybe a little bit longer, so that they can reach some of those like shorter par fours?
No, they tip that thing out, too.
You think so?
They're throwing those pins or those tees so far back, you wouldn't even... You're going to make new tees. Like, those guys are the best so far. Both Phil and Tiger along. If you're not going to shorten that course up for them, no chance.
Whoa, you can only play at Shadow Creek if you're staying at the MGM or a Mirage.
Is it going to be match play? Is it stroke play? Is it skins? Like, what do we got?
I don't know. I don't think any of that's been released yet.
I hope it's match play. That's way more exciting than stroke play. Match play is like, if somebody hits the green at 2 and a par 5, you're going for it. I don't care where you are.
Yeah. Well, and because like if you have one bad hole and you're down 2 strokes, like on the third hole, you don't want to. I feel like that's just so hard to come back from some guy that can literally par every hole because he just puts it in the middle, puts it in
match
like
play, match play. You're always in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
that's the same. That's the same weekend as the USC Notre Dame game. So if it's on Saturday, it's going to be a huge conflict for me because I'm trying to get back from Thanksgiving to go to that game at the Coliseum.
Yeah, we're going to that game if you're back, right?
Oh, we're going unless it's at 9 a.m., which it never is. We're going.
Man, that could be.
So it better be Sunday, because if it's Sunday, we're straight. USC Notre Dame Saturday, Tiger versus Phil Sunday, forget it.
Woo, that might be one of the best weekends ever.
The Rams are probably playing like the Niners or something crazy. I mean, holy crap.
Hey, Rams and Chargers are both looking really good. Not to
jump. I know.
But we are going to have a battle for LA this year, and I'm excited about it. Do you think they'll let people go to that? Or is it. Like, are they going to let people in to that Phil versus Tiger thing, or is it just going to be televised?
Oh, no, they'll sell tickets.
You think so? They'll just sell out?
Vegas? Yeah, for sure.
Dang, that's crazy.
So awesome. Just one gallery following one group. You know,
oh, like that's so great.
It's not spread out throughout the course. It's just three people playing golf.
Real question, are they going to do split-screen commercials?
They're better at being commercials. Actually, there's going to be a lot of commercials because...
Yeah, walking from tea to green. Or green to tea.
Yeah, you both tee off, you have 3 minutes before they get to their ball.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, there's a lot of downtime, so they're probably going to like milk the crap out of the storyline and talk about this and that and blah, blah, blah. But I'm still stoked.
Oh, it's gonna be so awesome. Do you have,
We gotta do like a drinking game or something, or like every time someone misses the fairway, or
yeah, just something fun.
There's just so much opportunity.
Oh, so much opportunity.
I'm freaking out.
Okay, so my answer to your question is Phil. And what was your other question?
I said they're gonna put up their own money, but knew that you knew the actual answer to that.
So. Yeah. So who do you have?
Big Cat.
Anybody that like listens to this podcast would probably could have answered that way quicker than we could have answered
it. Both of
like they knew it. Yeah, they knew it before we even said it.
I got the Big Cat, man. Come on.
It's gonna be, whew. It's gonna be great. I don't really have anything else. Do you have any other questions?
I do not.
I feel like I'm mentally drained from that podcast. We really kind of dove deep there. Had to clean our scuba gear off.
I'm emotionally drained.
What is the one thing that we forgot to talk about, though, that we'll have to bring up next week?
The new NFL rules.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we got time. We got time. A lot to unpack there.
Let's not rush into
it. Let's tease the audience.
Oh, we also didn't talk about – this is our bad. We'll bring it up next time. The official preseason power rankings and coaches poll came out for college football.
Oh, next time.
Next time. Next time we'll talk about all of that. But, yeah, this has been a good show. This has been a little bit of humor, a little bit of seriousness. There were tears. There was joy.
Mm.
That's all you can ask for. To swing to so many different emotional states within an hour period.
Experience all your emotions in one podcast. That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for. This is a roller coaster, and
if you want to laugh and cry, love and hate in 1 hour, you need to check down.
I wanna do a mashup for like our intro, and that should be it. If you want to laugh and cry.
You should do a mashup for the intro.
I know. I don't know how. I think you could pay people to do it, or like pay like a website and you like upload your podcast and they like whatever pull stuff. So be good.
Love it.
Anyhow, great show. A lot of fun. I will see you Saturday though.
Yeah, buddy.
Carlsbad. Family vacay. I can only go for 2 days, but you are going the whole week.
Not 2.5 days.
2.5 days. True. Oh, three and a half days. Sorry.
Still going to be a blast, dude.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll do the same damn thing next week.